Just because we have proximity doesn't mean we have intimacy. Just because we have 1,000 connections on Facebook doesn't mean we have any friends we can call when the storms hit the shores of our life. Just because we're in the house of the Lord doesn't mean we have a friendship with the living God. And as that beautiful reading expresses, we were created for relationship. Jesus says in this passage, love each other as I have loved you. We were made, you were made, created for a relationship with the living God. Isn't that amazing? But also we were made for a relationship with one another. And yet the challenge in our world at the moment is we're living in relational poverty. As I've researched friendship over the last few years, I found some really shocking stats. You know, 1 in 3 men say they have no close friends. It's not much better for women. 40% of young adults, by the way, the most connected generation in history, say they always or often feel lonely. At the end of last year, the World Health Organization said that loneliness is a global pressing health threat. And yet the good news of the gospel is we were made for a relationship with Jesus and with one another. And we need friends. We've got music and movies on demand. We've got the world in the palm of our hand. We've got fun trips, internships, play scripts and hair snips. Film clips, fish and chips at the touch of our thumb tips. Need to lead or breed or feed your cat? Well, it turns out there's an app for that. But we need friends. We've got computers for a fiver. Cars without a driver. We've got louder, further, faster, more. A bigger network than ever before. But we need friends. And friends are amazing. See, friendship is atomic. From the nursing home to the coffee shop, from the boardroom to the playground. It's relational connections that make the world go round. See, we were created to know and be known. It's better to eat kebabs with friends than salad on your own. And yet we trace in populous places. We're strangers in rooms of familiar faces. We crave deeper meaningful but experience anonymity. We dance superficially around the promise of proximity. And we need friends. And quantity is no substitute for quality. We need 5G, HD, 24 karat friends. Lifelong, fight strong, tag along, forgive all wrong friends. Friends to talk through our problems personal. Friends to call when the cancer's terminal. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, your year. You just remember what your old pal said. We get by with a little help from our friends. And look to the one who made friendship possible, whose nail-pierced hands bridged a chasm uncrossable. His scandalous invitation follows the most glorious of amends. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. So, celebrate with me the ship most worth sailing, and follow the example of the friend unfailing. May we raise our game and drop our cover, invest our energies in one another. May we still be there when the rain starts to fall, and accept the most important friend request of all, because we need friends. And what this passage so beautifully communicates in the words of Jesus 2,000 years ago, that are alive today, some beautiful principles that I believe that if we applied in our world, we'd be a lot less lonely, and we'd learn again how to invest in the friendships that matter the most to us. So what I'd love to do this morning is just share with you a few of those principles that Jesus speaks into. And the first is this, that great friendship is sacrificial. Do you know, just about the most powerful cultural story in our world today is what is known as expressive individualism. You probably don't know it by that name, but I bet you know it by its mantras. You do you. Follow your heart. Be true to your own desires. Express your authentic self. The story of our culture from the moment we get up and turn our phone on in the morning says it's all about you. Leading sociologist David Foster Wallace to comment, everything in my own immediate existence supports my deep belief that I am the absolute center of the universe, the most realist, most vivid person in existence. But in a world that tells you it's all about you, Jesus says this, there is no greater love than they that lay their life down. Their friends. And I just wonder, maybe one of the reasons we are so lonely in our world today is we are bombarded with individualism and we've lost the heart and the art of preferring one another over ourselves. And for some of us today, that might mean dropping everything for those who are in need. For some of us, that might mean avoiding the need to be right all the time. For some of us, that might mean spending time with people who are different from us. Great friendship is sacrificial. I've seen this most recently in the life of my mum. Since I saw you, I don't know whether you've noticed, there's a thing called COVID-19, this little pandemic we had. Well, don't know, like many of us, I had a really terrible pandemic. See, I'm an author. My first book came out the week all the bookshops closed in March 2020. I can't tell you how discouraged and disappointed I was. And then what happened was, far more tragically, my mum had been battling with cancer for about 6 months. We found out that cancer was terminal. So I spent the first few weeks of lockdown sat at the end of my mum's driveway, watching her physically deteriorate. But yeah, this was a woman who, as a young girl, had made a decision to follow Jesus. She'd accepted God's offer of friendship for herself. And it was like all of her life she'd been investing in a spiritual bank account. And then in her dying months was able to withdraw from that. Because I'd never seen her so spiritually strong than in those last few weeks. And then she did something I recommend we all do if we know we're going to be with Jesus soon. And that is one afternoon she takes her iPad. She records a message to be played at her funeral. She always wanted the last word, did my mum. And in this message, she talks about how her decision to follow Jesus, the knowledge of God in her heart, has given her forgiveness for her past. God with her in her present agony. And her absolute assurance of hope for the future. And then she went to be with Jesus on the 8th of June 2020. We weren't able to have a physical funeral in a church building, so we did it on Zoom. About 300 screens turned up. It was amazing. My mum got to preach at her own funeral. But because she wasn't around to stop me, and I'm an evangelist, I had the last word. I gave people an opportunity to respond to my mum's amazing gospel presentation. And you know, at the end of the call, we clicked leave on the call. I turned my phone on. There was a message of one of mum's friends who she'd prayed for many years to come to faith. And it simply said this: Phil, I prayed that prayer with you. I believe Jesus died for me. Isn't that amazing? Why does that happen? Because a woman who in her last days had every right to think about herself in a world that says, you do you, follow your own heart, she thought of someone else. She thought of others. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. Second thing we learn from Jesus in this passage is that great friendship is intentional. Jesus says a couple of times in this passage, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Now, this isn't normally how it happens. The relationship between Jesus and his disciples was a little different. Normally what would happen is disciples would find someone they wanted to apprentice to. Disciples would find a rabbi. They would find someone they wanted to be like and say, can I be your disciple? But Jesus flips the norm. He says to his disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. If you know the Bible, you'll know that a few chapters earlier, Jesus spends a whole night praying about who he's going to spend his time with. And then finds 12 people to do life with, leading many people to say that Jesus' greatest miracle wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It was having 12 close friends in his 30s. And what Jesus does with these 12, what's really interesting is not only is he intentional with 12, but he's even more intentional with three of these disciples. There's a couple of key moments in Jesus' life where he takes Peter, James, and John with him and doesn't allow the other nine to come with him. That's a bit awkward, isn't it? It's a bit, when you read that, you're like, that is a bit awkward. Imagine being Philip or Bartholomew or Thomas. Or do you know what I feel really sorry for? Andrew. Do you know why? Because James and John are brothers and they're like, where with Jesus? Peter, his name gets called. He gets to go. Andrew must have been thinking, it is my turn. Do you know why? Because he's Peter's brother. And the others are getting called along and he's there. Do you know what's even more awkward? It was Peter who introduced Andrew to Jesus. So Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. There's a special place in heaven for Andrew when we get there. But Jesus is really intentional. And one of the things I've realised as I've researched friendship over the last few years is that there's some amazing science around friendship. So this amazing anthropologist looked into our capacity for relationships. You've got 2,000 friends on Facebook, they aren't all your friends. Because our human capacity for relationships is about 150. By the way, if you've not got 150 friends, don't worry. That's kind of the upper limit. But our brains are only capable of having about 150 friends. Then what this leading anthropologist did, who's not a Christian, is he asked, how many good friends can you have? How many great friends can you have? He worked out you can have about 12 good friends. Sounds familiar. Then he said, you can have about three great friends. Isn't that amazing? It's like Jesus knew what he was talking about. When the Son of God came from highest heaven to lowest earth, he constructed his relationships in a way that 2,000 years later, science will tell you, works. Who knew? But there's something, there's a truth there, isn't there, about where we invest our relational energy. And you know, as I've researched friendship over the last few years, I've found a lot of people who have a lot of mates, they have a lot of people in their outer circles, but have very few in their inner circles. Real friends who we can call in our problems personal and when the cancer's terminal. So I'd encourage you today, how intentional are you with your relationships and friendships? Because the pressure on our relationships are real. Second thing we realize in this passage about friendship is a couple of shocking statements that Jesus made. Where when Jesus said these, the disciples would have said, say that again, Jesus. What did you just say? Because he says, I have called you friends. And this was not the primary lens through which the disciples saw their relationship with Jesus. He was their rabbi, their teacher. There was kind of necessary distance between the two of them. A few years ago, I was on holiday and realized that my old biology teacher was in exactly the same place. So we went for a drink. And I couldn't stop calling him sir. I was in my 30s. It was really odd. But in the same way, there was distance between the relationship between the disciples and their rabbi. And yet Jesus says, I have called you friends. There's no other record of any other rabbi in the first century calling their disciples friends. And I think Jesus is really obvious about this. He's intentional because he wants to communicate something really important to us today. Theologian A.W. Tozer says that what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The Bible gives us loads of images, lenses, metaphors through which we think about what it means to relate to the God of the universe. That he's our creator, our provider, our sustainer, our judge, our savior, our father. But don't miss this today. God is also your friend. God is also your friend. Do you know the best news in the universe is that God invites us to be friends with him. Don't miss that. If you don't know God as your friend this morning, I want to urge you with all that I am that you can know him as your friend. And if you do know Jesus as your friend today, I want to urge you to make that relationship, make that friendship the number one thing in your life. You know, too many of my friends at the moment are considering their next job promotion or their next house extension or what happens to their sport team more important than their relationship with Jesus. Don't let anything become more important than your friendship with Jesus. That's why at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. If you want to be alive every day of your life, make your friendship with Jesus the most important thing. Invest the time and the energy in getting to know him through his word. Talking to him through prayer. Because if you don't, Jesus says, if you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you want to be alive spiritually, remain in Jesus' love as he communicates to us and encourages us to do in verse 9. The great friendship is sacrificial. Great friendship is intentional. And finally, great friendship is invitational. As God extends his invitation of friendship to us, he also invites us to extend it to a world that so desperately needs it. A couple of times in this passage, Jesus says, I've appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And we bear fruit in lots of different ways as Christians. By becoming more like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When we bear fruit in our life, we become more like Jesus. But there's also something about us bearing fruit by bringing hope to a world that so desperately needs it. And I don't know about anybody else, but my newsfeed at the moment is about as bad as it's ever been in my lifetime. And I think that's leading to a bit of a vacuum of hope in our world. Do you know, the Collins Dictionary word for 2022 was permacrisis. Permacrisis. An extended period of instability and insecurity brought on by a catastrophic series of events. Feels like we've lurched from a global pandemic to a cost of living crisis, the threat of World War III, death of a monarch, political turmoil, ecological and economic meltdown. And I think the world feels it. I think we're weary of chaos. And you know, as Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want you to know that you're a bearer of hope. Because you're a friend of God, because you're remaining in the love of God, we are those people who our friends look to be a non-anxious presence in an anxious world, to be a hopeful person in a world that's increasingly hopeless. And I've seen this most recently in my mate John. Got a few people who I try to pray for every day, that they might become Christians. One of those is a mate of mine called John, who I've known since school. And I realized this kind of, that we're those people last year when he reached out to me, almost exactly to the day this time last year. And he texted me and asked me for prayer. And I didn't realize this at first because I got a text message that needed some deciphering. He said, got any time over weekend? Need a word with the top dog big man if you could help, pal. If your friends text you that, they're asking you for prayer, okay? So as you can see from the interchange, I'm a classy gent, and I took him for breakfast at Wetherspoons. Other places to eat are available for breakfast. And so we went to Wetherspoons. We sat there. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning. I say, what's going on? And he says his brother had called him that week with a suspected brain tumor. He called him to say, could John look after his kids when he died? And he had another kid on the way. What do you do? So I didn't really know what to do. So I said, we should pray, shouldn't we? He goes, what now? I said, yeah. So at 9:30 in the morning with, you know, I live in the West Midlands, people swigging pints all over the place. It was beautiful. We prayed that his brother might be healed. I texted him on the Monday, any news? He says, no. And on the Tuesday, he texts, no brain tumour. Thanks for your work, pal. Do you know what? John's still not a Christian. He still doesn't know the top dog big man. But you know what? He might be a bit closer. And in your life, you have Johns. There are people who will look to you as people of hope, people who are friends with God. We bring peace and hope into an anxious and hopeless world. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got a few people who you're praying for regularly to come to faith. You know, John is getting close to Jesus at what feels like a glacial pace. But I don't stop praying for him. Now, hear me really well on this. We don't become friends with people to convert them. But it's so often that through friendship, God does his best work and draws people to himself. Why? Because we're those who are connected to the relational God. We should be the best friends in the world. So today, may you know that God's invitation to you is one of friendship. May you be captured again by the beauty of the gift of friendship that God has given you. Encourage you to think about the relationships and friendships you have. Don't miss your friendship with God. Give all that you have to that friendship. But also may you know, in the perma-crisis, we are those who invite people to be friends with the living God. And that really is a matter of life and death. Let's pray, shall we? And I just wonder before we pray, just while your heads are bowed, I just wonder whether there's anyone here today who hasn't accepted that offer of friendship with God. Or there's someone today who just maybe you need to know that God loves you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again so that you might be friends with God. If that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer in your heart to say that you want to follow him. A bit like the prayer that my mum prayed as a young girl. To say, God, I'm sorry I got it wrong. I don't have it all together, but I want to have a go at following you. If that's you today, I just invite you in the quiet to bow your head. God can hear the call of your heart. And just in the quiet, I invite you to connect with him. Maybe in the past you've chosen to follow God, but today you feel far from him. God invites you today, again, afresh, into friendship with him. I just invite you where you are to pray a really simple prayer and say, God, I'm sorry I've got it wrong. Thank you that you died and you rose again so that I could know forgiveness for my past. God, with me today and hope for the future. And I want to have a go at following you. Amen. just while everyone's head's still bowed, just wonder if you just, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you do something really brave? Would you just put your hand in the air? Has anyone else, anyone pray that prayer this morning? Just invite you wherever you're at today, just to invite God's Holy Spirit to speak to you. And maybe for some of us, as we talked about friendship, that brings up pain. I encourage you to give that to God. Maybe for some of us, we know that the Lord's been just prodding us to be more intentional with some of our friendships. Maybe you might just invite him to ask, might just ask him who you need to reach out to this week. And finally, I just wonder whether there's others of us who, we think about our Johns, the people in our lives who don't yet know Jesus. And I just invite you to commit afresh to praying for them, to intensify your prayers that they might come to know Jesus for themselves. Father, I thank you for this brilliant and beautiful church. I pray for that the friendships within this church will be strengthened. I pray too that over the coming days, many might come to know you through people in this church. As the world becomes increasingly bonkers, we as those who carry hope would do so to those around us, our neighbours, our colleagues, our friends, our family members, in a way that draws them to relationship with you. In Jesus' name. And may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.